I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio. I am Dori DiCarlo. I'm your host, and you know we are here week after week just breaking those myths that mompreneurs dabble in business in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We are smart business women working and building lives for ourselves and our families and finding that balance between building a business and raising a family. And when I talk about balance, I don't mean equality, because life is not always an equal proposition. And the twists and turns that life can take, you know, bring you into places that you never thought you could be and doing things that you never thought you could do until you had to. And today I am sharing Courtney Galster. And she is a 30-something working mom living in the suburbs of St. Paul with her husband, Rick, and their toddler son, Ricky, and their dogs, who might join in on the show. We never know. They recently experienced the greatest loss of their lives when their daughter, Addison, was stillborn in May. And they've committed themselves to moving forward in a positive way and putting meaning behind their sweet baby girl's short existence. By day, Courtney is a freelance writer and a marketing consultant. Blogs about her journey at the Mompreneur Project. She lives for her amazing family, chocolate cake, and gorgeous shoes, and I love that about her, and she's here on Word of Mom Radio to share her journey with us. So, Courtney, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and, you know, I was telling you before the show started, I was on Twitter. And again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. For those of you who think that you're wasting your time online and nothing ever comes from your time on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you are doing it wrong. Because, you know what? This show would not be here if it were not for Twitter and Facebook.
That's very true.
Mainly Twitter. It began off Twitter. And today, Courtney is a perfect example. I was looking at my Twitter feed just the other day and tweeted, that was about the Mommyhood Project, saying how the loss of her baby made her a better mom. And when I saw the tweet, I clicked over to her blog, went to the first post, and read her entire blog backwards from the beginning now, and sent her a message and was like, I really want to share you on the show. And I would love for you to take us on the journey that led you to create the Mommyhood Project.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on today and for actually going through all of those posts, because I know it was a lot of content to go through. I've been blogging since 2007, but I built the Mommyhood Project at the beginning of 2012 when I was pregnant with my son, Ricky. And I had always been kind of involved in the blogging world and was on this new journey where Rick and I were engaged and we were getting married. And actually, I think it was right after we got married. And we were newly pregnant and, you know, this really exciting time. And it just kind of chronicled my pregnancy with Ricky and then as he was an infant and moving forward and all of those things that you experience as a new parent, and then as your child kind of enters toddlerhood. And last November, we got pregnant with our second child, and it was, like everything else, I shared everything on my blog, sometimes too much probably. And ultimately, you know, long story short, in May, we were supposed to go on vacation to Florida. We were taking Ricky on his first plane ride. And the day before we were supposed to leave, I didn't feel right. Like, something was definitely not right with the pregnancy. And called my husband, sobbing, because I knew something was wrong. and ended up at the doctor's office where they couldn't find a heartbeat and basically told me that, you know, I could go on my trip, but I could spontaneously go into labor at any time. And so our daughter was stillborn 2 days later. And we have kind of just chronicling my life since then has really been a big focus of the site. And I try to not focus too much on how sad we are, how much grief we have in our life, because we're really trying as hard as we can to push past that. But, you know, trying to put some meaning behind what happened to us and also kind of what happens to a lot of families out there. It's such a, you know, not well-known, or stillbirth is not a super well-known thing in the community until you or someone close to you kind of experiences it, and then you realize that there is this huge community out there of people who have experienced either miscarriage or stillbirth, and there's not a huge voice behind that, and that's really changing because of people with much bigger voices than I have, but, you know, I'm doing what I can to contribute to that movement, I guess you could call it. This is something real, and it is something tangible, and people heard over it.
It's funny because, well, it's not funny, but when I think back, when I was in Lamaze class, I'm getting choked up, with my first son. Actually, one of the parents that were in class, it was our last class, and they weren't there, and so we were all excited, and then our Lamaze teacher had to let us know that they had lost their baby. And I haven't thought about that in so long. And as you were talking, and all of us were just all looking at each other because for everyone, this was their second child. So they were there for a refresher course. All the rest of us were first-time parents. And you just don't realize. And then I was sharing with you before the show started, just in the last year and a half, I've had two friends who've experienced the same kind of loss. And you want to honor the life that was there and then not. You need to move past it, but it is that promise of everything that wasn't fulfilled.
Right. And I think, you know, as someone who has almost 2-year-old, I didn't think that I was naive to pregnancy because I've been pregnant before and gone through it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a baby, a beautiful baby boy. And actually another blogger that I know was pregnant with twins, and I won't share too much of her story because it's not my story to share, but Diana Stone is a blogger who was pregnant at the same time that I was pregnant with Ricky. And she lost her twin boys at 19 weeks. And, you know, still that, you know, it resonates with you because it happens to other people, but until it really affects your world in some way, it's hard to understand exactly what it means and to kind of not be naive to it because you never think it would happen to you. So I would love to go back to that naive place and still be pregnant, but You know, you can't rewrite history. And so my kind of goal moving forward is to take what happened to my husband and I and our family and share that so that people who feel like they don't have a voice and they can't share what happened to them have at least, you know that there are other people out there that have experienced it and that it's okay to talk about it. And, you know, they can reach out to people even if they don't want to necessarily publicly do that. They can still reach out to people that it's happened to before and know that it's kind of a safe place.
You know, and I think that is that fine line that you walk because you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. It's not like the loss of a parent or a spouse or a sibling where you can, you know, come into it from a different place. you know, when it is the, you know, this kind of a loss, it's just, you do, you're just like, what do you say? What do you do? How do you offer comfort? You know,
right.
And
I think,
no, go ahead.
I think a lot of people, you know, they don't know what to say and they don't know what to do. And, you know, a lot of people just kind of assume that the rest of your life or however long you're going to be sitting around grieving about this all the time. And for a while, it is like that. And, you know, at some point, you do start picking up things of your regular life. And it doesn't, I don't think it ever goes away. And, you know, there are times when I'm standing in line to check out at Target or just doing something so every day that you wouldn't think there would be a trigger there, where there is going to be a trigger, but it's not something that affects every single second of my life at this point, you know, like it is right away at the beginning. But it's hard to figure out what to say to people, and it's hard to know when you should talk about it and when you shouldn't talk about it. And I think most, if you know that someone has gone through this, most people are pretty open to talking about it, but they don't want to talk about it all the time, if that makes sense.
Right. Because, again, there gets that, you get to that place. I mean, my best friend actually had to have a radical hysterectomy at 33 when she and her husband were trying for their first child. And it turned out she had cervical cancer. And then after her surgery, comes to find out her mom had it, her aunt had it, her sister, blah, blah, blah. But this was 25 years ago that this happened. And, you know, it was a woman thing. I'm doing my little finger quotes. And that's not things that you talk about.
Oh, that frustrates me to no end.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, something like this that is galloping in her family. I mean, the PS to her story is they went through a third party, her egg, her husband's sperm, 5 tries. But I was the coach in the delivery room when my godson was born, who will be 20 in March, and had a camera down the back of my pants. And when he was being born, took this camera out and snapped a picture of her face while he was born. Yeah. You know, but for years, I was pregnant with my second child when this happened. And when I went to see her, I actually went in my husband's clothes, a pair of his slacks, a button-down shirt, to do everything I could to just look fat, not pregnant. And for years, when I would go to see her, I would leave my kids at home. I had other things to talk about with her.
Right.
Whereas so many of her other friends were moms, and that's all they could talk about, and so she didn't want to be around them.
Right, which makes sense.
And,
I mean,
Exactly, and I mean, it does. You get to that point that it has to be, well, hey, where does our friendship come back into play? You know, yes, I know that you grieve for me too, but there has to be that next place.
Right, and, you know, when this happened for us, we really kind of went through the initial shock, and then we were still in the hospital, actually, and just kind of talked about it and said, we can either let this be the defining moment of our life where everything just kind of goes down the drain, or we can take Barry and sit and figure out something positive to do with it and not let it be like this, you know, end of our life moment. And we chose the latter right there in the hospital. And, you know, it was a huge decision for us to make, I feel like, at that point where we're still kind of in the throes of experiencing this, but it was the right decision to make. I mean, at least for us, it was the right decision to make. And we couldn't just, you know, we had to come home to a 20-month-old baby and our family and our dogs and be able to pick up and at least be normal for that, for our son. And so putting that energy that we would have spent being angry and miserable into something positive, I really feel like that's what kind of pushed us over the hump.
But I have to tell you, having read, I mean, for those of you just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio. We're talking about the Mommyhood Project. And I really encourage you to go over to the mommyhoodproject.com. The posts that you share, the way that you express yourself, Courtney, is so real. You know, you're not trying to be eloquent. You're not trying to sugarcoat how you feel. You just honestly talk about what is going on and the other women who have shared their stories as contributors to the Mommyhood Project. All of you are so authentic in the way that you are dealing with the grief that you deal with. I can't explain the positive energy that you share on such a heartfelt subject.
Well, thank you.
Does that make sense to you?
Saying that on behalf of everyone who's contributed to that Life After a Child Loss series, thank you very much, because I think all of those women have made the same choice that I have made, and they want to make a positive impact on the child loss community. And, you know, it's almost like, for me at least, it feels like I got so much support from the child loss community as a whole when this happened. Even people that, you know, reached out to me that I never expected to reach out to me, I almost feel like I owe that. It's almost like giving back to that community and being able to say, you know, here's my story. For those of you who can't seem to get that out there, you know, don't have the same kind of outlet that I do, which I'm so lucky to have, here it is, and this is what it is, and, you know, validate your feelings, or you feel like you can talk to someone else, or if it gives you some kind of a connection that helps you heal a little bit. I feel like that's kind of one way that I can give back to those who have given to me.
Well, and good for you. I mean, you know, for me, the two women that I know that have experienced the loss that you have, one, it was a clotting factor, which I know that your doctors were looking into with you. And they now have a very healthy baby girl. But
and those are the
because they
are amazing.
Yes, it is. But again, because they found out it was the clotting factor, they were able to monitor her, medicate her, and do everything that they had to do to make sure that she had, you know, pregnancy and delivery. And, you know, as I said, they have a beautiful baby girl. For my other friend, they lost a second baby. And the first one they lost, you know, 9 months, and she was born stillborn, and the second baby they lost in their fifth month. And
yeah,
it's so hard. It's so hard to know what to say, know what to do. And this is somebody that I've known since she was a little girl. I used to give her singing lessons and things. And, you know, it's like a surrogate daughter to me, you know, and it's just, thank God for her faith is really what's gotten her through all of this, is just her faith.
It immediately kind of, at least for it, I experienced the same thing. I don't know if everybody does, but a lot of other bloggers that I know that have been through this, they've said the same thing, that it's really grounded them in their faith and made them kind of feel this resolve to push forward and be more devoted to whatever it is that they believe.
You know, in sharing such personal, in, you know, things about your life, where do you draw the line? How do you figure out what to share and what not to share?
You know, when it comes to baby loss, I think I've pretty much put it all out there. I mean, I don't put it out there every time that I fall apart sobbing, and I don't put it out there every time. You know, I know not everybody wants to hear about that all the time. In terms of our family, anything that I feel comfortable sharing with the world and my husband feels comfortable sharing with the world, we'll put out there. But, I mean, we don't take it beyond normal family stuff, I think. You know, we try to share as much of our life as we can without, you know, walking into our finances or walking into our fights or, you know, anything like that. I think it's just, it's more humorous than that. So we try to keep it a little lighter with everything else outside of the child loss piece of it.
So, I mean, now you had a background in blogging and things like that, and did that kind of lead to the business model that you created your blog?
Yeah, I started out blogging for a business that I worked for back in 2007 and kind of turned it into a passion, I guess. And I started blogging personally at kind of around the same time, and just it kind of evolved and grew. And as I learned more about it and saw an actual business opportunity that existed, it just seemed like, well, why not? Why not, if I'm going to put this content out there and people like to read it and want to come and visit my site, you know, if I can make that my job, even beyond my blog, but with freelance writing, it just felt like the right fit for me. I love to write, and I love to kind of, it's part of marketing, which is what I do for a living. So it just grew, really. It wasn't an intentional thing by any means, but it just kind of grew and evolved and has become something bigger than I ever anticipated it could be.
Isn't that amazing when things like take on a life of their own?
It is. It's pretty incredible, and it's surprising, and sometimes it's a little overwhelming, but it's always positive. You know, it's growing in such a positive way, and if what I do is helping other people, then I feel like it's the right thing for me to be doing.
Cathartic for you, that it helps,
oh,
you know, in helping yourself, it helps others?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think writing is cathartic to me, and having this space where I can just express everything that is going on in our world is, especially with what we've been through this year, I feel like is really helpful. And so it's kind of it's like a win-win, I guess.
Well, you know, for people that are blogging out there, you know, where and how did you kind of figure out your target audience and reach them?
I think my blog really evolved over time and started out, and it took me a long time to figure out what my voice was, and it took me a while to figure out, you know, what exactly do I want to write about, and it's certainly a trial by error type of model, I guess, for anyone who blogs, you know what I'm talking about, but, oh my gosh, the train just completely left the station. I had a thought in my head, and it is so gone.
Mommy brain jumps in.
You hate it when that happens? Oh, my gosh. It's like
okay, and you know, I have to break it to you because my youngest is 22 years old, and I still get mommy brain every once in a while. And people look at me and it's like, sorry.
Oh, it never goes away.
I'm sorry. I used to breastfeed.
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
I still use that.
I'm serious. It just happens. You can't figure out where you were at, and then about an hour from now, I'll think, oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's way too late.
And you know what? It was probably brilliant.
Oh, I'm sure it was, because every thought that I forget is always brilliant.
Doesn't it kill you? My niece and I, it's so funny because I'm in the process of rebranding my business, and she just graduated college with a marketing degree, and we were having a party over the summer, and she and I were talking about a tagline for one of our bags, and she came up with this fabulous line, and I'm like, where's there a pen? And she's like, oh, we'll remember it. And the next day I'm like, Mish, and she was like, oh, Dee Dee, I was drinking wine. I'm like, this is why, see, you learned at a very young age, write it down, because trust me, brilliance doesn't come back.
No, it doesn't. And it's always the ideas. I just wonder how many great ideas I've lost because I have no memory, no short-term memory anymore.
Not for nothing, I do long drives because I would go to conferences and things like that, and I would actually call one of my friends and go, write this down for me. I'm driving. I can't stop. I have a meeting that I have to get to, but write this all down for me. I was just thinking about this, so hash this out with me. And I'm like, but just write it down or turn your answering machine on so you can tape it. Do something.
I always now, have to text myself.
Thank you. Do you know how many times I have done that too? I was joking at my best friend.
Helpful.
I was at her house, and I was joking about happy hour. And I was like, hey, it's noon somewhere. And her husband looked at me, and he's like, hey, happy hour starts after coffee. I was like, oh, my God, I need to text that. I was like, someday I'm going to embroider that on a pillow for you guys.
Someday when you have time, right?
So, for all of you bloggers out there that she was trying to explain how and when to reach your audience, where,
my brilliance is gone. I'm sorry. No, I think, finding your voice, figuring out what your voice is really the first step, and figuring out how you want to communicate, and you'll kind of naturally find your own audience. And then it's all about building your audience and really being active on social media, and I'm sure that you've experienced this with what you do, social media has become such a huge part of how we communicate with people and how we reach people through our own personal brand. So if you are a blogger, social media has to be kind of one of the biggest avenues that you're using to push your stuff kind of out to the world. And you kind of have to grow your audience that way and see how it develops. But obviously, my audience is so easy to figure out because I'm a mommy blogger. Even there's not too big of a stretch there as to who I'm trying to reach. But if you're a food blogger looking for foodies and people who love to cook, or just depends on what kind of recipes even you're making. If you're making those easy 5-minute meals, maybe you're looking to connect with parents as well. So establishing what that is and figuring out what it is basically just kind of taking a look at the content that you're producing and deciding who actually wants to read this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Station break. For those just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio, and I just want to say hello and thank you to our show sponsors today. Leslie Josel is the founder of Order Out of Chaos. She's a certified ADHD coach for teens and college students and is an organizing specialist. She provides education, tools, strategies, and support to help parents and students navigate school, home, and daily life. She conducts seminars and workshops for parents, teachers, and students on how ADHD, executive functioning, and related challenges impact students' behavior and performance while teaching students how to build effective organization and time management skills, establish successful study habits, and navigate their home and school life. She's also the creator of the award-winning Academic Planner, a tool for time management, keeping students on task, on time, and on track. And it gives students a natural way to visualize time so they can master it. You can reach out to Leslie at orderoochaos.com. I highly recommend you reach out to her. The Academic Planner is absolutely fabulous. And again, it gives you really a great way. Most planners, just kind of plan out this little portion of your day. This will help your student plan out their entire morning, afternoon, school time, after school time, work time, and everything. And again, when you're able to see it as somebody who has ADHD, when you can see it and visualize it all, it gives you that tool to master what you're trying to do. And our other sponsor today is Safety First Bags. You need to travel and you need your laptop when you do, but do you really need to remove your laptop at every airport checkpoint? Not anymore. Take a look at wordofmomradio.com/offer/ for laptop bags and backpacks that meet all federal TSA guidelines as checkpoint friendly. which means that jet-setting mompreneurs and busy travelers no longer need to remove their laptop at every security checkpoint. You can go again to wordofmomradio.com/offer/ for a discounted price and free shipping, and you can give yourself the gift of convenience. So we are back here live on Word of Mom Radio, and we are talking with Courtney Galster, who is the founder of the Mommyhood Project. And we're just kind of going back and forth about creating that authentic blog and the journey that has led her to creating the Mommyhood Project. And, you know, it's interesting. I remember when I first started to blog, and I am just getting back into faithfully doing it again. I fall in and out of it, but fortunately other hosts on our shows, you know, I'm able to share their blogs, so there's always stuff going up on wordofmomradio.com. I realized the importance of that first person and really sharing your journey, your story, your feelings about things. You know, I remember I was watching TV, and I'm not going to name the insurance company, but there's this commercial about why Pinocchio would be a lousy motivational speaker. And he's pointing out to the audience, and he looks at this guy, and he's like, you have potential. And all of a sudden you see his nose growing. And you see the guy that he's looking at really feeling like crud about himself. And I was like, wow. You know, I know that that was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek and really funny, but it really wasn't, because everyone has potential. And so I actually was so upset about it, I felt the need to blog it about it. And I was like, wow, no wonder Pinocchio really isn't a real boy. Because to not know, I said, when I honestly look at people, I know that everyone has potential, and I guess that's why I still have a little button nose. You know, I kind of made a joke out of it, but it was true, you know. And so, again, I'm serious. It's one of the reasons that when I started reading your blog, it made me go all the way back to the beginning, because you are so authentic in the way you write and what you share.
I think that's something that a lot of bloggers ask about, too, is, you know, how do you figure out that authentic voice? And, you know, I don't have a really good answer for how you do that. I just know that it's really important to be open and honest, because people can tell if you're not being honest and you're not being real with them. And that's kind of the point of having a blog, where you're putting your stuff out there, is that you're being real and people are getting a glimpse into your daily, you know, your life, and seeing what's going on with you. They want to know that that's real and that they're not reading something totally fake that anyone else could have written online, you know? That authenticity is so important when it comes to anything that you're putting out there. And it just kind of, it takes time to develop. I'm sure if you went back to the beginning of my blog, I did not know what my voice was going to be. I wasn't even a mom yet. And just, you know, figuring that out, it definitely takes time, and it takes time for everybody. And just, even if you're not a super regular blogger, knowing that everybody started somewhere, that should give you some, you know, some comfort in knowing that you're not alone.
Well, and again, you know, you're not. And the reality is nobody starts out as an expert doing anything. None of us were born knowing how to blog. We don't, you know, none of us were born knowing how to do social media and things like that. That's why I love Janice Clark's Social Media Help Not Hype show here on Word of Mom Radio every other Tuesday, because Janice really genuinely talks about social media and the fact that it is relationship marketing. It is social media. So if you're not being social with the people you're connected with, guess what? It's not going to work for you. You know,
right.
You can blog all you want, but if you don't share your blog with people genuinely, by getting to know them and who they are, and as opposed to just, hey, I'm so-and-so and here's my blog, You know, this is the fine line that you walk, you know, as you are doing all of this. But it's a really important fine line. And again, it's because I'm following somebody on Twitter that's following you, that you wound up in my feed, that I took a look at what you wrote because the title of that blog post was so compelling to me, not as somebody who's lost a child, but I really wanted to read how you felt the loss of your child made you a better mom. Because I've never heard somebody say that before.
The social media piece of that is so important to, if you have any kind of online business, kind of growing your online business through word of mouth. Well, social media is the online version of word of mouth. And I have a lot of blogging friends, obviously, but I have a friend locally in the Twin Cities who is a blogger. And she turned to me the other day and said, you know, I don't understand. Like, I do all the same things that these other bloggers do. I write in my blog consistently and, you know, I'm doing cool things and all of that. What am I not doing right? And what it comes down to is that you have to be all over social media. You have to, if you want people to come to your site and read what you're putting out there, you have to show them that it's there. And that means you need to push it out and push it out and push it out almost until you're blue in the face so that people see it. And as you build a following, you have to do, you know, you can do that a little bit less. But social media is so important to just that getting the word out that you have this space online that you've created and people can read it and it's really cool and all of those great things. It can be all of those great things and it can just sit there. Or it can be all of those great things, and people can know about it, but they're only going to know about it if you push it out. I think I repeated myself twice or something.
But that's okay. It was worth repeating. You know.
I talk a little too much sometimes because I do it for a living, so I apologize if I get a little too excited about social media.
Well, it is exciting because social media gives you an opportunity to reach people that you would never reach, to talk to people you would never talk to in real life because it just opens you up. Again, people forget it's a World Wide Web. And, you know,
right.
And I'm going to throw out there that guess what? Some days you are going to be able to interact with people by the thousands who are going to come, hundreds of people will read your blog post, 1,000 people will read your blog post, 3 people will read your next one. You never know. You never know. And it's not, it's funny. It's the same thing with the radio show. You know, I mean, we've had shows where I've had 3,000, 4,000 people tune in to the archive, to the show, and then the archives of the show, I've had 50 people tune in.
Sure.
It really depends on the subject, who it is. You know, but guess what? Those 50 people were just as important to me as the 3,000 that tuned into another one.
Absolutely.
Because they are, I mean, let's face it, each one of those hits, each one of those followers are actually real people in the real world who are taking time to see who you are, what you do, you know, and how to reach out to you. And our lines are open if anybody would like to give us a call and join the conversation. You can give us a call at 646-595-3163. Hit the number 1 so I know that you're in the queue and actually want to chat. And as we're talking, you know, the blogging community now is so vast.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's so many people out there. Do you kind of feel that there's a role for your blog in that mom community that's different, or that, you know, obviously you're coming at it from such a different place, but, you know, where do you see that for you?
It's funny that you ask that because I feel like since May, that's kind of been something I'm trying to figure out from, you know, what do I share and what do I not share to how do I kind of get other people involved with this. And I'm not really there yet, to be perfectly honest with you. I feel like it's a constantly evolving thing. And right now, I've been taking on a lot of guest posts from really great people. Yesterday, basically just anything from the Life After Child Loss series to helping people have a better marriage after having a child, and anything that I feel like could benefit my life is something that I'm willing to share on my site, and not just always sharing. It'll always focus on me, not in a me way, but just that's how it started, is that it's about my life, and it will continue to be about my life. But I think that there's kind of an evolution taking place right now, at least on my site, where I'm trying to share information that's a little bit even more valuable, where it's not so much, where it just takes on more of a, this is something that could help you roll, and this is information that I found to be really helpful, and maybe my readers would find to be really helpful too. So, for example, I had Dr. Stephanie Steele on yesterday. She did a guest post on how her, keeping your marriage a priority after you have kids, because it is something that you have to consciously do. And I have gotten a ton of positive feedback from people about that, about how helpful it was and how much they appreciated that kind of content. So as long as I'm getting positive feedback from people, I think that's probably the direction that I'll continue going in, is bringing great content from myself, but also from other people that want to contribute, or guest posts on different topics that talk about things like that, or talk about, do-it-yourself items that they make, or, whatever that looks like. I don't really have an exact model, but we're getting there.
Well, and that's the evolution of the blog. I mean, ultimately, what are the goals that you have for the Mommyhood Project?
That is a great question. I don't really know right now. Right now, I think I'm just kind of taking it day by day and trying to figure out what it means to me to be able to blog and what my readers enjoy about reading on my blog, and kind of go from there. I feel like our life has been such a whirlwind the last 3 months or so. And I haven't really, I've been trying to reprioritize and figure out what fits best on the site, but I haven't really sat down, which is probably something I should do, sat down and figured out what those real specific goals in terms of where it will be in a year and 2 years will be.
It's the evolution, because it's amazing how your goals change when you, I'm curious, just because of our business shows that we do here, did you actually create some kind of a business plan model for your blog, or has it just kind of done it on its own?
It's done it on its own. I never created a business plan for it. I never, set out to have this business that became out of it, but it's just kind of evolved on its own. And I don't know, maybe if I would have had a better plan in place and thought about it, thought it start to finish from the beginning, it would have happened more quickly. But it really did start out as just an outlet for me, and has grown into something that, I never really could have imagined.
Well, I can totally understand that, because the direction that it has taken since the loss of Addison had to completely revamp, even if you had had a business plan. you know, it's a chance that I'm like, okay, wait a minute. It's like, wait a minute, we can share out this section, you know?
Yeah, and it's, it is, you know, I think no matter what, though, anything that you do in terms of sharing your life and having that as part of what you do for a living is constantly evolving, because your life is never stagnant. Your life is constantly changing, and you're always going to have things thrown into your path that you didn't expect. And so that's always going to kind of evolve and change as your life evolves and changes.
With the loss of Addison, I mean, what are the ways that it affected the look and the feel of your website and the place where you are now?
I think that it's still evolving. We lost Addison 12 weeks ago, and so we are still kind of, I'm still kind of figuring that out. The look of the site is going to change a little bit in the next couple of weeks, probably in the next month or so. And it's just, you know, it's just kind of a work in progress, I guess, just kind of like life is. I've taken on a couple of bloggers. I've definitely taken a different direction in terms of some of the content that I'm putting out there, where more focused on this particular experience as opposed to having a much broader focus on my life and my family's life. And it's expanded to the point where I want to bring on, or I have brought on, a couple of additional contributors who, you know, are certainly not as active as I am on the site, but will be popping up here and there to share their parenting experiences, because I feel like I have a very one-sided view of parenting, and there are so many different experiences out there that, you know, that they're just great voices that I can share, and they supplement my story. And it's kind of nice to get a different perspective every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of where it's at right now, and I think it will continue, especially for the next couple of months, kind of as I figure out what that right fit is and, you know, what that right voice is moving forward. It'll just kind of continue to evolve, and I can't really I can't pinpoint what that's going to look like and what that's going to be, because I feel like it's evolving as my experience changes and grows. But I know that it is going to continue. It's probably going to continue to change.
And naturally so. And I can't believe it's only been 12 weeks and that you are so committed to sharing this journey.
I think if I didn't if I didn't have the outlet prior to this happening, I wouldn't be as open to sharing, but the Mommyhood Project has become such a big piece of who I am, and I'm so used to sharing. Even when we found out that we were pregnant with Addison, we were 7 weeks pregnant, and I told Rick, I was like, I feel like I'm lying to people because I'm not telling anyone that we're pregnant, and I feel like, you know, this is so weird to not have ever, you know, not put it out there and not let people know, because it's such a huge thing in our life. And he was like, well, then put it on there, you know, tell people that we're pregnant, and that's totally fine. And if we didn't already have that as such a huge piece of our life, I don't know that I would necessarily feel as comfortable sharing our story, but feel like it's almost an extension of who I am at this point, and I'm so used to sharing everything that I couldn't, and this is such a huge thing in our life and a huge thing in anyone's life who experiences it, that I couldn't imagine not putting on what's going on and, you know, how this has affected us and how it's changed the course of our life.
I can completely understand that. And, you know, in a way, what a blessing that you had this outlet.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think it's been a huge piece of the healing process. At least for me, it's been a huge piece of the healing process. And I don't think that I would be at this point that I'm on the, you know, able to sit here and talk to you for an hour about this and what happened without becoming really completely emotional if I didn't have this outlet that kind of allowed me to grieve the way that we have.
Trust me, I'm choking back tons of tears for you. Okay. You know, and it's the mom in me, you know, it really truly is. And, you know, it's funny, I was with a friend of mine last night and I was joking about how I used to be the youngest person in the room because all my friends were always much, much older than I was because I was mature or younger in life and was doing theater professionally at the age of 12. And, you know, and now everywhere I go, I'm old enough to be everybody's mom. And so it is, it's that, you know, it's strange. It's kind of that really protective mom feeling that I have for you in wanting to just be able to give you a big hug and let you know that I'm so proud of how you are taking your loss and helping other people with it because you've given them a place, a safe place to come and share theirs.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Really,
and I
truly
really mean it because I think that it's a difficult thing because where do you go with the pain? Where do you go with it? What do you do? No, you know, you can only talk to people for so long before they can't handle it.
Right.
And yeah, so to have this outlet, not only for you, but to have other women have a place where they can feel safe in their pain and in their grief, and giving them that same outlet that is enabling you to find the way to honor that sweet life, you know?
Yeah, I
and
think
knowing
that's so true.
So
that's so true.
For those of you wanting to reach out to Courtney, you can find her at themommyhoodproject.com and all over social media at Courtney. It's CourtneyGalster. And you can find her there on, did I spell it wrong?
It's E-R, no worries.
Oops, sorry. Spell it again then.
Okay. It's just Courtney without the U, CourtneyGalster. I'm pretty
and
much
you can find her on Instagram,
that.
Pinterest. Actually, Pinterest, you'll find her at Shoe Happy. I like that. And, you know, on Twitter, you'll find her. But please reach out. Really reach out. And as we're bringing this to a close, what is the one thing you'd want to share with another blogger? You know, with somebody who's going to get out there to try and start a blog or who's got a blog, but you know that they're not quite, you know, what is that one thing you'd like to share with them?
You know, I think everybody started somewhere and, you know, it just takes a lot of perseverance and a lot of hard work, just like anything else, to be successful. And you'll get there. You just kind of keep plugging away, keep writing, keep being consistent, stay on social media, and you'll get there. Everybody really did have to start at the exact same spot that you're starting at.
Yeah, it's amazing how people just want to start at the, you know, at the end.
At the top, yeah.
They do. You know, they forget that there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's a, oops, I wish I knew then what I knew now, that whole aspect of.
It's a journey, you know what I mean? It's just like life. It's a journey, and getting there is kind of the fun part, and figuring things out and, you know, being proud of yourself for every accomplishment that you make.
I like that. I really do. We're just going to do a little housekeeping. Next week on Word of Mom Radio, Tuesday, Cena Block is here with Managing Mompreneur Mayhem, and she's going to be talking about getting organized to get your kids back to school. And I always think of that commercial. You know, I used to take my kids, we'd go back to school shopping, and I was the mom in the aisle singing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." And I'd be riding on the cart, the kids would be like, "Mom, cut it out." It's like, I can't help it.
Oh, my gosh, it's like Christmas for moms. Come early.
It really is. And it's so funny because when my youngest, I had put him into our church school like 3 mornings a week just for social, A, for socialization, B, so I could have a little alone time with my other child because my boys are 18 months apart.
Oh, my God.
And when we, my kids are now 26, 24, and 22. So, you know, they were all right in there together. And we had gone to the store the day before school to get all of his supplies that he'd need, his crayons and his books and this and that. And Friendly's was next door, and he's like, "Oh, Mommy, can we go to Friendly's?" And I was like, "Sure." So we're at Friendly's, and he said, "Can I have ice cream?" That was breakfast. And I was like, "Yeah, why not? You're going to school tomorrow." And it became our – I'm serious. It became our back-to-school tradition. The day before school, I would take the kids to Friendly's for breakfast. I'm like, "Yeah, eat all the ice cream you want. You're going to school tomorrow." Yeah.
That is funny.
It is. So I'm looking forward to Cena's show and her back-to-school show. And then Wednesday, our revolving show platform has revolved back around to the sneaky mom, who's Kaz Winters at everythingfamily.net and the motheroffamilyideas.com. And she's going to be talking about how to create that I can do attitude with your children, because let's face it, we all know as parents that kids learn best when they think they're playing. And that's what I love about Kaz, being the sneaky mom and getting in there and figuring out ways to let your kids think they're playing while you're out there really giving them some great lessons about life and what they need to know. And I wish I could remember who is going to be on my show on Thursday, but, you know, I really can't. So I'm not going to pretend that
I
do.
Well, I'm excited for Wednesday. Wednesday sounds like a great show.
Oh, you know, our revolving Wednesday platform, actually, you will love Kaz's show, which gears more into older kids, but still great ways. And then we have Kaz comes on the first Wednesday of the month, and our third Thursday of the month is Productive Play with ifnotyouwho.org founders Debbie Dutton and Alyssa Sunger, who are that mother and daughter mompreneur tag team, and they have all kinds of great right in your wheelhouse for your toddler to help
awesome.
Them get ready for school. Yeah, actually, you would love their site, ifnotyouwho.org. It's got over 300 activities in all the different cognitive areas. Yep, to make sure that your child is ready for school. And Alyssa is a brand new mom. She has her first baby. He's just the cutest little thing with those little chunky cheeks. And so she's just getting back into being able to do the show again. But they will be sharing, I'm trying to think what they're sharing, I don't know, but their shows, the four shows they've already done, they did one on the color blue, they did one on music, cooking with your kids, but they're all geared towards little kids. And it's like 10, 15-minute, you know, activities that anyone in the family can do that help your toddler get ready for kindergarten and stuff. So, we have some really fun shows here. I'm loving our rotating Wednesday platform of the different shows that are coming in. And, Courtney, I thank you so much for sharing here with me today. I am so glad I was in my Twitter stream and saw you, because I really look forward to just sharing you, retweeting you, and just I wish you so much in the mission that you have. And I have to tell you that your son is so beautiful. What a sweet little boy. He really is. He is a sweet, sweet little boy.
He is a little monster. He is hilarious.
Well, that's the nature of the almost 2-year-old, you know.
Oh,
and they say
absolutely.
It's the terrible twos. But, you know, it evolves. They don't let you know that it really evolves into the really awful threes. And then I can't believe I'm going to survive the fours.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but you know what? I think that this is just so much fun to be the parent of a toddler. It's just such a blast.
It is. It is. And to see when you see things through their eyes, it is just the most fun in the world because they're just such magic. And I have to say that actually five is like was my absolute ultimate favorite time because everything is such a wonder, you know?
Wow.
And it is. It's just such a – I look forward to enjoying your journey and reading the things that you share and the other women share, and I look forward to having you come back and sharing with us, you know, at another time, the Mommyhood Project, and I wish you so much with everything that you are doing. I really do. And I thank you so much for spending time with us here today on Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So to all of you tuning in, we will see you here next week. Enjoy our archives. We have some great people that have been sharing with us. And until next week, this is Dori DiCarlo saying thanks so much for being here with us and go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.